Loving God, we thank you. We thank you for this day that you've made, Lord God, and we thank you for our church. We thank you for those who are here today to hear a word from you, Lord God, to worship you, so that you could be in our midst. And hold before you, it would be remiss if we do not pray for our country. Bring now, Lord God, that there'll be peace, there'll be unity, that we will go through this season, and that we pray that those of us who believe will pray more and seek your face. Now, God, speak a word to us this day. Give us hope. Continue to sustain us and strengthen us as we have gathered here. Let us feel you in our hearts and in our minds and soul. And so we invite you, Holy Spirit, to come. Come in our nation. Come in our church, Lord God. Touch those who are protesting, God Almighty. Touch those who are divided and upset, Lord God. And we know that you are a miracle-working God. And so we are trusting you to do what only you can do, is to bring peace to humanity in our nation. And holy God, as we gather here, speak now, for we are listening. In Christ's name, amen. And as we today on this Veterans Sunday, we certainly want to remember all the veterans and our country. Now, my sermon title today is Strength to Endure. And I read this little reflection, and it's titled, When All Hope Seems Lost. When All Hope Seems Lost. LaGuardia was the mayor of New York during the Depression, and he was quite a character. He would ride the city fire trucks, take entire orphanages to baseball games, and whenever the city newspaper went on strike, he would get on the radio and read the Sunday funnies to the children. At any rate, one cold winter's night in 1935, Mayor LaGuardia turned up in a night court that served the poorest ward in the city, dismissed the judge for the evening, and took over the bench himself. After he heard a few cases, a tattered old woman was brought before him, accused of stealing a loaf of bread. She told LaGuardia that her daughter's husband had deserted her. Her daughter was sick and her grandchildren were starving. But the shopkeeper from whom the bread was stolen insisted on pressing charges. My store is in a very bad neighborhood, Your Honor, he said. She's got to be punished in order to teach other people a lesson. The mayor sighed. He turned to the old woman and said, I've got to punish you. He said, the law makes no exception. $10 or 10 days in jail. But even as he spoke, LaGuardia was reaching into his pocket and pulling out a $10 bill. Here is the woman's fine, he said. And furthermore, I'm going to fine everyone in this courtroom 50 cents for living in a city where a person has to steal bread so that her grandchildren can eat. Mr. Bailiff, collect the fines and give them to the defendant. The following day, the New York Times reported that $47.50 was turned over to the bewildered old woman. It was given by the red-faced store owner, some 70 petty criminals, people with traffic violations, and city policemen. They all gave their mayor a standing ovation as they handed over the money. That's how it will be with God's world. Just when it seems that all hope is lost and goodness and mercy shall never win, the great judge will come to set things right, deciding for the hungry and the meek of the earth. Just when we think it's all bad, God shows up. So church, that is our hope for today, and it's so appropriate that we have a text like this, both Isaiah and the gospel story on a day like this, a season like this, when we may think that all hope is gone, that everything seems so bad, it's never going to be better again. Here was this woman who she had lost all hope, yet something wonderful would happen. And so, as we look at the text, we want to remember that this part of the text, there are two texts that is so opposite, yet they complement each other. Right? The gospel is a gospel today of one that is about the end time. Now, when you read it, you want to say, oh, God. Yet the Isaiah text, we call it the old covenant, so to speak. God's covenant to the children of Israel. That's what the Old Testament is. I just read a young man, a preacher wrote in an article saying the Old Testament should be called, not the Old Testament, because it still exists, it's not old, the covenant, God's covenant to the children of Israel. And the New Testament should be called God's covenant through the gospel, God's covenant to the world, right? Because God so loved the world. And so here we are we've seen the gospel. The disciples were being persecuted by an oppressive government, and they were powerless, and they were under intense pressure. All seemed dark and hopeless, so much so that they wondered if the end was near. They were desperate, blinded by the anxiety, and totally unable to see the future. But they are no different than us. Whenever things are happening in the world of epic proportions, like hurricanes, wars, catastrophe, or plagues, there are those who believe that the world is coming to an end. Whenever these things happen, we get weary. We think this got to be the end time. And Jesus wants to tell the disciples something else today. And as I put these two texts together, let me give you a thought on this. When I, you know, going back home in the Caribbean, and I'm sure over here too, my mother and my father, especially my mother, not my dad so much, but my father, would punish you if you misbehave. Do you know when you used to get punishment? Doesn't anybody remember that? They don't call it punishment now because everything has to be politically correct. But when I was growing up, if you misbehave, you would get, your mother would either take away something or give you a little bit of whipping. Did anybody get a little whipping? I did, because there was no DCF. You know DCF. There's no DCF in the Caribbean. You know, DCF is the one they call to take your children away. Do you know, if you say to them, don't you do that, they call DCF now, the children. They will tell you, I'll call DCF. But back home in the Caribbean, if there was DCF, my mother would have lived in prison. Because if you misbehave, you didn't go to school, she would. But while she was reprimanding you, this is my mother had a tendency, before she reprimanded you, she would tell you that she's doing this because she loved you. Did you ever get, you misbehave in school, and I'm going to have to punish you, but while I'm doing it, remember that I love you, and I'm doing this because I love you. Did anybody ever get that? Right? I'm doing it because I love you. And if you were crying after she sent you to your room, or she was a little woman like this, and if you were running, sometimes I'm telling you she would have been in jail for a long time, because sometimes you're running and you would feel one of her slippers, she'd be throwing it after you as you're running. Lord knows, she'd be in prison now. My little mother, she'd be running. And if you were crying, like I'd be in my room and I'd be crying after I'd be there for a while, and you could hear her, she'd peep, and sometimes she herself would get upset and she would say, you see what you made me do, because you won't listen. You won't listen. But it was out of love. This is what these two texts are, right? The Old Testament text of Isaiah begins with this great promise. It comes before the New Testament text, right? And it tells us, which is amazing, because the Old Testament tells us the promise of God, gives us what God is going to do when we get to heaven. This is about a new glorious creation, a new view of heaven, right? for I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. Right? And if you read the Old Testament text first, you get all the hope, don't you? Right? It's new heaven and new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. Be glad and rejoice. And this great promise in the Old Testament, you read this Isaiah text, which was being read, spoken to a people in exile, right? People in exile. He says, I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or a cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days. No more. Here are the promise. He says, before you call on me, before they call on me, God says, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like an ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. He said, they shall not hurt or destroy on our holy mountains. What a joyous sight of a vision of a place where there's peace and unity and love, a new creation. So we read the Old Testament and we get excited and we say, oh, this is going to be wonderful. And then we go to the New Testament. We go to the New Testament text, and when we get there, there is something else. Now, one would hope that always when we read what Jesus says, we often want to always hear about love. Hear about love. We always want that to be the thing that we see. But Jesus today, in this text, end time text, is like a mother or a dad who's going to reprimand us. It's like a mom or dad who's going to tell us what's going to happen. So here it is, the people, one day the people were standing around and they're talking about the temple, remarking how beautiful it was, the splendor of its stonework and the memorial gifts. And Jesus said, all this you're admiring, all this wonderful thing that you're admiring, right? You're admiring so much. A time is coming when every stone in that building will end up in a heap of rubble. Can you imagine Jesus walking in here and says to us now, all of this that you're imagining is going to be rubble. It's going to be, you'd say, Jesus, why? Why would that happen? And they ask him, teacher, when is this going to happen? What clue will we get that this is about to take place? And he says, watch out for the doomsday deceiver. He says to them, watch out for those who deceive you, that always tell you that is going to be the end time. Watch out for those who tell you that's what's going on. America is going to be in such bad shape forever and ever. Watch out for the doomsday deceiver. Many leaders are going to show up with forged identities claiming, I am the one, or the end is near. Don't fall for any of that, Jesus is telling them. He says, when you hear of wars and uprising, keep your head on and don't panic. Don't panic and trust in him. This is routine history and no sign of the end. And then he went on, nation will fight nation, ruler will fight ruler over and over again. Now, friends, don't we see that happening now? We see nation fighting nation and ruler. He says huge earthquakes will occur in various places. There will be famines. He says you will think at times that the very sky is falling in. You're going to think that this is the end. But he says, but wait. Well, before any of this happens, there's going to be more stuff. They're going to arrest you. Talking about the believers. They're going to hunt you down and drag you to court and jail. It will go from bad to worse. Can you imagine this text? Remember, we just read the Isaiah text. Everything is going to be wonderful. There'll be no more weeping. It's a new creation. Again, it's like your mother telling you, I love you. I love you, but now I'm going to have to punish you. Jesus is saying here, right? That here they're going to drag you to jail. It will go from bad to worse. Your throat, everyone will be at your throat. You'll end up on the witness stand, called to testify. But make up your mind right now not to worry about it. Not to worry. He says, I will give you the words and the wisdom that will reduce all your accuser to stammerers and stutterers. In essence, I'm using a modern context now. I'm going to give you the words. Don't you worry. I'm going to give you the words to pray, saying. I'm going to give you the words to speak hope. I'm going to give you the words to speak hope. Christian believers, we are supposed to speak hope to those who are worried now about what's going on. Right? This is not the end time. He says, you will even be turned in by your parents, your brothers, your relatives, and your friends. You know, this is so amazing to me. As I was reading this text, I thought, you know, there are families who have been arguing and being divided about this election. People who said they didn't vote for this, and this will happen. The Bible is so real. I have a friend who has two lovely children, and one was in the army, the young man, and he did not go to vote, and she was so angry. Very, very bright young man, is an engineer. He says, because of Benghazi, I'm not voting. And the daughter said something else, and so on. And there she says, I had this big fuss with my two children. I had to stop myself. And says, stop it. This is what's happening. Because he had been in service, and he believed what happened there was wrong, so he didn't want to vote. And the daughter says she didn't. And so they had this big argument. She was telling me yesterday, this is what the Lord is saying. Brothers and relatives and friends, exactly what's happening. But he's trying to say, this is not the end time. What is happening now? It's nothing. He says it's not the end time. There's more to come. There's no telling who will hate you because of me. But I tell you, he says, even so, every detail of your body, every hair on your body and your soul, everything about it, even the hairs on your head, is in my care. Nothing of you will be lost. Isn't that amazing? He's saying those of us who believe in him, nothing will be lost. Even when we lose our life for Christ, it is not lost, church. So we must endure. Even when we lose our life in his name, it is not lost, right? I've got your back, he's saying. I've got your back. I'm watching out for you. Stay with it. That's what is required. Stay with it to the end. You won't be sorry. You'll be saved. For us, Christ is saying, endure. I'm going to give you the strength to endure. No matter what you're going through, even personally in your life, as we put it into our own personal life, we go through trials. We go through tribulations. We go through ups and downs. We go through good days and bad days. We go through death and tragedy. God is saying, have strength and endure, because you are not lost. If you believe in me, I'm going to bring you through. This is the hope for today. This is the hope for us always. Norman Vincent Peale once told of encountering a hurricane while on a cruise in the Atlantic. And after the captain managed to sail around the danger, Dr. Peale was visiting with one another. Both of them were visiting. And the captain said he had always lived by a simple philosophy, namely, that if the sea is smooth, it will get rough. And if it is rough, it will get smooth. He added, something worth remembering. But with a good ship, the captain says, you can always ride it out. Our ship is our faith in Christ. With a good ship, you can always ride it out. Life is unpredictable. God is with us. Not a hair on our head will perish. And so what Norman Vincent Peale was saying, we need the good ship. And the good ship is our faith in Christ. That's what it is. It's not what governments say. It's not what we read in the newspaper. It's not what we hear on the news. Yes, we hear it. It's not what's going on in our lives. It may seem like the end time, that this is what's going to happen. When the end time is going to come, it is going to come, and surely we will know it. But the Lord is saying, if we trust in him. And so today, church, we have the good ship. The good ship is our faith in Christ. No matter what happens, not a hair on our head will perish. Not that we won't be hurt. Not that we won't be overwhelmed. Not that we won't be disappointed. Not that we won't be surprised. But if we're on the good ship, if we're holding on to that good ship, our faith in Christ, we will overcome. And then we are reminded that there is a new heaven, a new glorious creation waiting for all believers. And that's a view of heaven. For God says, I will create new heavens and new earth. And all the things that we have gone through shall not be remembered, church. This is a view of heaven. Shall not be remembered, no matter what we are going through now. No matter how bad it may seem. That new heaven and new earth with the Lord. Where there will be no more weeping, no more dying, no more killing, no more pain. We just have to endure. The strength to endure is what is needed of us. So today, church, as we know that our nation is in a turmoil, and some of us, our lives are in turmoil. Some of us have loved ones who are sick and are going through terrible things. Let me give you a word of hope. Not a hair on your body will be lost because you belong to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the word. That's what Jesus was telling the disciples who were being persecuted. Will not be lost. He said in the Gospel of John, all you have given me, all those you have given me, I will not lose. He will not lose us. He's with us even until the very end. And so we give thanks. We give thanks with a grateful heart.